We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt, that fine gentleman over there, as always, the monster of the Midway, Dan Rubenstein. Sir!
Yeah.
How are you?
Not bad. Had a bit of a saga with catching a mouse this morning in our basement who was on its last literal legs.
Okay.
Walked through a thunderstorm because I had to pick up the car, getting an oil change and a tire rotation. Are you supposed to rotate your tires? Is that a thing?
It is.
Or did I just, okay.
No, that's sure. Yeah, that's definitely a very real thing.
Rotating, the tires have been rotated. I made some dough balls from some previously resting cold fermenting dough, and so that'll happen later in the week pizza wise. So it's been an active morning. I was just on Pac-12 radio with Guy Haberman and Evan Moore.
Okay.
Great. They do a great job. So it's been an excitable morning, and I worked out, Ty. I even got a workout in because I couldn't get one in last night, and I did. And it's appropriate for this show because it's a Q&A show that we're just hitting different topics. Boom, 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 boom. It was an interval workout, a high-intensity interval workout. I don't know if you've done one of those.
Damn, dude, settle down. I had two cups of black tea and two eggs, and that's what I did this morning.
I couldn't get through the entire workout. I looked like Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter after merely 15 or 16 minutes. And I'm feeling good, though, you know?
Well, good. Good. It's good to have you at full capacity. You're going to need your energy because this is a monster recording session that we're set to embark on here. Thank you to one and all for stopping on by, downloading, listening, subscribing, what have you. The show is always driven by our good friends over at Geico. If you have not hit the subscribe button yet, please feel free to do so. It's free. It's easy. Tell all your friends. Don't forget to go to verballers.com if you want interesting perks, like a full video version of this show.
Yes.
All of our shows given to you a little bit early. You get access to the Patreon community, the Discord, the bonus content, extra nuggets, all the good stuff we've been telling you about. You can find it at verballers.com. And last but certainly not least, going out to solidgiveaway.com. You've got until April the 23rd, at which point we're going to draw a name that is going to win that AJ Brown signed Ole Miss mini helmet, at which point we will do it all over again. I got another helmet in the queue, Dan. But today's show is a long one. We did it last month. We're going to do it again now. Throughout the course of any given month, any given week, any given offseason, frankly, we are inundated with questions from the esteemed Verballerhood. Folks write in via email. They write in via Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Even on Patreon now, we've got questions coming out the wazoo, and we're doing our best to try and get through all of them in as orderly a fashion as humanly possible. So, The show that many of y'all are going to hear today is our mega April Q&A part one. Part two will be a Patreon exclusive. Normally we do a Brew&A on Fridays. Part two of this show is going to be the Brew&A that gets released to the Patreon community. So as I've advertised it a little bit here on our Patreon world, the more scandalous type stuff we'll save for the premium content that goes up on Patreon. But just an incredible amount, a slew of great questions that came through that I am excited to discuss with you today, Dan, as part of part one.
I am as well. Should we just spare no more filler and just get to it?
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
You've got mail
on the Solid Verbal.
As often as we can, Dan, we like to pay homage.
On the Solid Verbal.
Still playing. I don't know why.
Whoa.
Homage to those of you who write into solidverbal@gmail.com, all of our social channels, snail mail, messenger pigeon.
Yeah.
We'll take questions however we can get them. Do you want to start off the show today?
Sure. Yeah, we have questions from the Verballers from Discord. We have questions from our Patreon page. We have questions from Twitter. We have questions from Instagram. And I think we had some emailers too. So it's all over the place. I am ready. Ty.
Yeah.
This is the question that some people just tend to ask. It's the who is this year's blankety blank, right? It's like, who is this year's Iowa, the team that comes out of nowhere to go undefeated? Who is this year's LSU to have firepower out of nowhere? Who is this year's Kenneth Pickett, and or Joe Burrow? Ty, let's define what we believe that to mean.
Okay.
And 2022, looking at quarterbacks who have been around, but have been sort of a late bloomer to be Heisman adjacent or ensconced. Is that a good word for that?
No, that
Heisman
was
ensconced quarterback. Caliber.
Caliber.
Can I give you some names?
Please, I'd love to
just
hear some
like
names.
Just quarterbacks who are bathing in that jacuzzi of mediocrity, who are ready to make that leap. Okay, here we go. We got Bo Nix at Oregon. Fresh start, whatever. We've got Max Johnson, Texas A&M. Fresh start, whatever. You got Will Levis, who popped last year, who Nate Tice on the show this week mentioned.
I can't tell you how many messages I got about the Nate Tice conversation with specific regard to Will Levis. Continue.
I have Adrian Martinez at Kansas State, who has a stellar running back next to him to take away some of that attention. Maybe that helps. You have, similarly, Casey Thompson at Nebraska, who's been around but hasn't popped as a top flight. Showed certain flashes last year with Xavier Worthy in year one of the Sark offense at Texas. So maybe another guy, fresh start. What about Jordan Travis, Florida State?
Yeah.
Somebody who dual threat ability. And we're going to talk about Florida State in a little while as well on an upcoming show. Let me see where else I can go with this.
Keaton Slovis, Dan?
Keaton Slovis at Pitt?
What about Keaton Slovis? Maybe it's
what
a little too...
What about JT Daniels at West Virginia, who just committed?
JT Daniels is going to be throwing nothing but three-yard hitch routes all year.
I know. Yeah.
All year. His average depth of target is going to be like 4.5. No, I'm very interested in Keaton Slovis. I'm interested in that situation. For a number of reasons, I guess there is a bit of overlap between Kenny Pickett at Pitt and now Keaton Slovis transferring to Pitt. But I love the fact that he's got a game-breaking wideout in Jordan Addison.
Okay,
I understand the offense is a little bit different now. Mark Whipple goes to Nebraska. So, to what extent that's going to factor in remains to be seen. But I think Keaton Slovis is a really interesting bounce-back candidate, if only because he burst onto the scene in a big way when he became the starting quarterback at USC last year, was nicked up, and there was the whole Jackson Dart thing, the whole coaching change thing. It didn't quite work out. I think this could be a fresh start for him in a place that has at least had some recent success at the quarterback position. So he's a name that I'm interested in. I'm interested less so in Casey Thompson, though that is a situation I'm going to follow because it's hard for me to gauge. Casey Thompson coming to Texas to begin with was kind of a story, right? He was a guy that a lot of folks were really excited about, and it worked out in spots. It obviously wasn't consistent the whole way throughout. Otherwise, he still would have had a firm grasp on that starting quarterback spot. So what Scott Frost can do with him at Nebraska, if he can give that offense something of a lift, definitely a better passer than what Nebraska has had recently. I'm interested in Casey Thompson. What can he do? And if only because Nate Tice brought up Will Levis now, I guess I'm going to have to be in on Will Levis. He's a guy, Nate's a guy who knows what he's talking about. I am not. I'm just an idiot with a microphone. So Will Levis, we'll see. I am open to being convinced on that front, but it will be hard for me to forget some of Will Levis's early work at Penn State.
All right, I've got some other names who are sort of off of the Heisman adjacent or ensconcing radar, but have shown enough promise that have either bathed in the jacuzzi of mediocrity or have bathed in the jacuzzi of pretty good. I don't know. Brennan Armstrong, been around, been showing improvement, right? Probably needs to cut down on the picks to really have that chance to vault. I mean, same goes for Will Levis, obviously. DTR, Ty, been around.
Okay. Right.
What about, and this is directly in line with the Joe Burrow part of this, whoever wins that job at LSU, both those guys have hung around, not in a starting role for Miles Brennan, but Jaden Daniels has shown that promise and will be surrounded by talent, presumably, but it's year one. I don't know if Mike Denbrock is the most explosive offensive mind to sort of vault one of those guys up, but there's a lot of examples, like Devin Leary. I wouldn't say he's...
Devin Leary had a pretty good year last year. I'm not going to say it wasn't Kenny Pickett.
No, but he's definitely pretty good already.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But he is, it would be a vault to get to the Heisman Jacuzzi, would it not?
For sure.
I'm the player that I'm looking for, it is somebody who does not qualify as this, but somebody who is, to me, too far beneath the radar in talking about this conversation about these quarterbacks, and that's KJ Jefferson. The chips are to the center of the table for me with KJ Jefferson. Physically, the dual threat, the arm, you know, no more Treylon Burks, but you know, the transfer situation is very good for Arkansas. The coordinator is there for an explosive offense. I think the line should be good once again. So that's the guy to me who will vault himself into household status because of the stage on which he plays. To me, my best bet for that is KJ Jefferson.
Yeah. By the way, Keaton Slovis, I sort of evaluate in an entirely different vein than KJ Jefferson. I think we saw the writing on the wall for sure with KJ Jefferson last year. And especially in that bowl game, I know so many people who weren't familiar with KJ Jefferson saw him in the bowl game and just the skill set that he has and how he's able to take over a game is something that is really special in college football.
Sure.
And I'm excited to see more of him this coming season. For sure, Arkansas is definitely in a good place. Sam Pittman's done an awesome job with that program. And to be frank, the athletics program at Arkansas as a whole is in a really good place between the basketball and football program and other sports. So it's a great time to be a Hog right now. And I think we'll see much more of what KJ has this coming season.
I'm going to give you the deepest of sleepers for an answer for this, because Kenny Pickett was pretty deep as a sleeper to get into that Heisman. And now he's, you know, in the conversation for the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft because of what I believe to be a good amount of natural talent, what I believe to be a good offensive line in front of him. And much in the way that, you know, Joe Brady opened things up or helped to open things up for LSU with a new coordinator. My deep sleeper answer for this is Graham Mertz. Because Bobby Engram comes in, because he has a good running back next to him who should provide for play action opportunities. Now, I don't think they have winter wonders at receiver. I don't think they have those guys that scare deep safeties. That to me is the issue. But in terms of a guy who's like going from 10 touchdowns and 11 picks to 18-3 with a really solid offseason and he's healthy, and I have to squint. I have to squint and I have to put on some pretty strong lenses. But I'm just saying, if I'm going to select somebody deep in the cavern of mediocrity, that's my pick.
Such odd construction. I love it.
Thank you.
I really love it.
Okay.
All right.
We commit. Okay. Are you ready for the next question?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, by the way, to, I want to get this right. It was Gordon. You don't hear from a lot of Gordons anymore. And so I'm glad we could get that. On that same vein, Finalytics picks for long shot Heisman. And this person has suggested Jermaine Burton, Alabama transfer from Georgia.
Okay.
At 30,000 plus 30,000.
300 to 1. That's 300 to 1.
Yeah. Good math on the fly.
Yeah. I'm used to it. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So You know, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. I hate the Heisman, but I love long shot Heisman picks.
Yeah, there's value.
There's value. And the problem is that you're never really going to cash in that value. It's just interesting to look at who feels like they are too low in right. any given moment. To that point, as I went through, as I looked at some of these names, KJ Jefferson's pretty low.
Yeah.
He's a name that I think is interesting. Jackson Smith and Jigba is pretty low at 80-1.
We had a recent wide receiver Heisman winner in Devontae Smith.
I think the guy for me is probably JSN at 80-1. I like that one a lot. At least on the list here that I am looking at, he is equal to KJ Jefferson, who is also 80-1. He is equal to Jordan Addison is 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
If perhaps Keaton Slovis pops off the way I expect, the way I hope, he could be an interesting name to keep tabs on. Travion Henderson at 60-1 is not bad.
Okay.
Depending on how Ryan Day chooses to use him, given the other artillery he's got in that offense. Sean mm-hmm. Clifford at 60-1 is not a good pick. Do not pick him.
Don't waste our time. Yeah.
Don't go there. Those are some names that jump out. Quinn Ewers at 40-1 is kind of a joke. We haven't seen anything from Quinn Ewers yet.
But look, if he pops, who do they have early on? They have Alabama early, right?
Don't do that.
Okay.
I don't think that's bad value.
I don't think that's bad value. If he is the generational quarterback that he has been labeled to be, that's not terrible value.
Another one that's
not terrible value? In an explosive offense. I have a couple, but continue.
Another one, if my deep sleeper here would be Will Shipley. Shipley at Clemson is 170-1. This is per the Action Network. I don't know how up to date this is, but
yeah, I'm looking at a different one. But
my hunch is that it hasn't changed all that much. It's still probably really low for mm-hmm. Will Shipley, but was hurt last year, but I think established himself as sort of a jack of all trades, someone who could go into that offense and really, really make some hay. If DJU or my boy Cade Klubnik can get their act together at quarterback, provided that the coaching situation doesn't fully implode now that it's a bunch of new names. Clemson clearly mm-hmm. has talent. It's an ACC schedule. Will Shipley is going to be, I think, kind of the go-to playmaker on that offense. He's an interesting name for me at 170-1.
Okay. Jahmyr Gibbs at Alabama. I think Heisman voters will not be thrilled, even if Bryce Young shows himself to be even better than he was last year, much in the way that Lamar Jackson had a better follow-up year than he did his Heisman year in a lot of cases, especially statistically. He was a better quarterback. He was more developed. He was better at reading defenses. He was just clearly better and didn't win it the following year. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a big beneficiary of defensive coordinators keying in on Bryce Young, the passing game, and Jermaine Burton is a decent answer as well, who could be the number one guy for Alabama out wide. Jahmyr Gibbs was crazy impressive for a nothing offense. What is he going to do behind a Bama offensive line? What is he going to do split out wide? What is he going to look like when used creatively when Heisman voters do not love a back-to-back winner? I think that's interesting, and currently his odds are at plus 10,000. So it's, whatever it is. Or it opened at that, and it, depending on where you're looking. But there's value, whether it's 100-1 or 40-1, whatever. Decent value there. Outside of, that's the deep one, right? That's, you're looking pretty deep into the annals. Malik Cunningham, I'm going to need to see a step forward. I mentioned Brennan Armstrong on that conversation in terms of guys making leaps, vaults, but man, he put up some huge games. And I don't believe Brennan Armstrong will necessarily win, but we could have another year. Did we not in mid-November say to ourselves, I don't know, it's still kind of wide open. And Bryce Young kind of won it by default because he just finished strong. It could be another year where they don't want to give it to Bryce Young. Will Shipley's not a bad bet. When you look at some of the odds here, Jackson Dart at, 50-1?
Something like that.
Plus 5,000 or 5-1, yeah.
Let me throw out two other names.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker at 60-1 on the sheet that I've got here. This looks like it was updated in January. So
yeah,
it's probably moved down Maybe not that much, but Hendon Hooker.
That's not a bad pick.
60-1. He's going to throw it a ton. He had a good year last year. He's another guy. Could be interesting. The problem with the Heisman is your team has to be really good in order to really have a shot.
Yeah.
And I don't know where, you know, hopefully Tennessee takes a step forward, but we'll see. The other name here, I noticed that you haven't mentioned Will Anderson, Dan.
That's true. It's a name worth discussing.
I was hoping you could do the Will Anderson voice.
Will Anderson.
Thank you. The exasperated national media.
How did he not get it? He's Will Anderson.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
No problem. He's at 30-1.
Yeah, I've got 40 on mine, but still pretty good odds for a defensive player to be that high up.
Yeah. Somebody else who, I mean, look, every single offensive line and offensive game plan will be keyed on him. And so it's hard to quantify times run away from or double teams that open things up for teammates. It's hard to do that in the way that Jordan Davis was one of the most dominant players last year in college football. But like, how do you quantify those types of numbers? No, Will Anderson's interesting, but it would take a complete absence of offensive firepower in the sport. Individual firepower, be it running back, receiver, or quarterback, for him to really, really get there. Though, Will Anderson has the advantage that not a lot of players do of being clearly Heisman caliber as a defensive player and being back for the following
season.
Well,
that's true.
So the name recognition happens to be excellent for Will Anderson.
My actual bet, and this is not based on odds. By the way, I love Jaxon Smith-Njigba. At those odds,
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Those are incredible odds. So that would probably be, if I put money down, that's who I put money down on. The guy who I think is going to win it will be C.J. Stroud. It's tough to repeat if you're Bryce Young. Really tough to repeat as a Heisman Trophy winner.
The good news, if you like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, is he has already put up cartoonish numbers in big games. You saw, I think it was Nebraska, he put up 200-300 yards. Obviously, the Rose Bowl, he just went wild. And he can be forgiven for having a 4-catch, 63-yard game because it's position dependent, right? He could be double teamed. He could just CJ Stroud miss something open or whatever. Whereas CJ Stroud, if he just has a clunker of a game to open the season against Notre Dame or Michigan State or something like that, but otherwise has a great year, that'll be used against him in a way that a low statistical game won't be used against Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So if JSN is fully unguardable and is putting up cartoonish numbers, knowing that he's the number one option against, and what they have Notre Dame, I think the schedule is really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good
for just like the stage that he'll be playing in big games sprinkled throughout. I love that pick from you.
All right,
it's not a deep sleeper, but I like the pick.
Next topic, Dan.
Michael, how screwed is Georgia Tech for the foreseeable future? Pretty screwed.
They're pretty screwed. Yeah, they're pretty screwed. I think we're in agreement on that front. You just talked about Jahmyr Gibbs, who left the program.
Yeah. Yep.
Problem with Georgia Tech is that it's not. First off, the talent situation, installing a new system in the wake of that triple option.
But that's old news.
Paul Johnson system.
We're years into the.
I know we're years into it, but I still feel like we never got over that hump.
Yeah.
The problem that I have is the schedule is still brutal.
Right.
It's still brutal. And so there's just not a whole lot of wiggle room if you're Georgia Tech. If you're looking to take this thing next level and you've got just killers on your schedule, you know, there's just no net. It makes it so much harder.
I agree. Is Tennessee ... back? Nat wants to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so what define back. So it's basically clearly competing for the SEC East, which is where they were when they were there, if they're back.
Yeah. I don't know. Back is relative, right? Back in terms of Texas may not necessarily be back, excuse me, for other teams.
Yeah.
But Tennessee for, what, the last 5 years to some extent?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's harsh to say they've been a punchline. But a lot's gone wrong there.
Yep.
A lot's gone wrong there, especially with the way that Jeremy Pruitt left the program. Just hasn't been in a good spot. And then the end of the previous regime wasn't in a good spot either. So I feel like in a very short period of time, Josh Heupel's gotten them to a level of respectability that if you're a Vols fan, you got to be pretty pumped about. The fact that they've got Hendon Hooker coming back, the fact that recruiting, I think, has been pretty strong. There's a lot to like there. And at least directionally, it feels like they are headed towards back. Whatever that may mean for you, it seems as if they are in the car. They've got the breeze in the hair and they are going towards that destination. So even if they're not there, they're getting there. I feel pretty confident in saying that. It seems like they're in a good spot.
Yeah, the good news for Tennessee is the turnover at Georgia. Now, obviously, Georgia is stacked. The turnover at Florida, quarterback, coach, everything is significant. South Carolina is frisky, but has a ways to go. Kentucky is a good team, but one that's limited in terms of, I mean, they have a new offensive coordinator this year, limited in terms of, you know, how many games they, you know, they're not a 10-11 annual win program.
Excuse me, you're talking about the Will Levis-led Kentucky Wildcats, Dan.
Yeah, but no more Liam Cohen, no more Wandale Robinson, but they've recruited really well. I think they just fielded a top 15 class, yeah. Kentucky did. So things are great in Lexington. So the SEC East is tricky. The problem with Tennessee to me is they're not back until they're much deeper on defense. The pass rush was okay. They got beat deep too much. And there was too many questions on defense. I think they're going to continue to get better. They were decent against the run, but too many big passes allowed last year. So when they are balancing how explosive that offense can be with how limiting in terms of explosive that defense gets to, and I think a lot of that is pass rush and havoc, the defense, especially the line, just wasn't getting home enough to make me feel like they're on the this fall verge.
So why don't we say this? We agree that we're on the highway, we're in the Tennessee car, we see a road sign that says, what, 55 miles to back?
Okay. Where you're like, I can hold my bladder that long.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can do 40 minutes, whatever it takes to a wide open road, 55 miles.
I think that's about the right number. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Now you can hold out. It's not indistinguishably far. It's horizon-ish.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. You know what I think Tennessee is? I don't think Tennessee is ready to win in a number of ways, but I think Tennessee is good enough to beat beatable teams, be it because of injury or internal drama or, you know, a screwy turnover in a big game. Like, Tennessee is good enough to pick up a win that falls off the truck, right?
Yep.
That's where they are right now, which is a great place to be and growing.
A lot of programs would take that spot.
Now, there are NCAA ramifications also on said highway, freeway, that are TBD. And so that might throw a bit of a winning wrench into things, or losing wrench, as it were, into things. We'll see. But that is a part of the concoction, the volunteer concoction here.
Barring a spike strip.
Yes.
Set down by the authorities, I think we're about 55 miles from back. Let's go to the next question.
I think with what Tennessee can currently control.
Yeah.
They're in the direction. Okay. Fair. Matt says, Notre Dame plus 10.5 versus Ohio State. Do we hammer?
Wow. Plus 10.5.
Yeah.
First off, is that a real line? I don't know if that's a real line, but it feels about right to me.
Okay.
I wouldn't take that. I would not take those points. There's just too much of an unknown going into that game. I think that Notre Dame will be amped up, but the quarterback situation is still a bit up in the air. I expect it'll be Tyler Buchner, but there's probably something of an open competition this spring, later this fall, between him and Drew Pine.
Sure.
So there's uncertainty on that front. There is turnover elsewhere on this Notre Dame squad. So, you know, what it's like in year one, first, like, let's say, real regular season game under Marcus Freeman, Tommy Reese, unfettered. There's just too many unknowns. And we know a lot about Ohio State already. We just talked about C.J. Stroud and JSN and Travion Henderson, that three-headed
monster.
But you
have, in your head, as a degenerate, of which that's the tribe you belong to, there is a number. Like, if you said it at plus 19.5, you're like, I don't know.
I am worried that game gets out of hand because I feel like on paper, Ohio State is going to be demonstrably better. That doesn't mean it won't be close. It's week one and weird things happen in week one.
Sure.
But I just have far more questions about Notre Dame than I do Ohio State. If you gave me 14 and a half, I'd maybe consider that. But that to me feels like a stay away game. I would stay well away from that game. I do think that there will be a lot of steam on Notre Dame as the game gets closer, because they're first off a team that people love to bet for or against. And especially in a case like week one against Ohio State, Marcus yeah. Freeman's first game, this weird set of events that we had last year with Brian Kelly mm-hmm. leaving actually turned a lot of people into Notre Dame fans. And there will be, call me crazy, I think there will be a percentage of the population out there that wants to root for them, especially against another hated team like Ohio State.
I don't know where you're getting your data points. I don't think that's true.
I do. I think people will want to root for Notre Dame in that game. And I think that line will come down.
I think Notre Dame hatred perhaps has softened a bit, but I think the feelings that people have about Notre Dame are larger than any one coach.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You will have Michigan people who want to root for Notre Dame, want to bet for Notre Dame because they're playing Ohio State. You have other people in the Big Ten will want Ohio State to lose that game.
Now, you have the known of Ohio State's offense, which I think is going to continue to improve, especially new offensive line coach. But the known of, we know what these receivers are. We know who CJ Stroud is, whatever. And obviously, you know what Ryan Day does as an architect of that offense. Now, brand new Ohio State defense. There's an unknown in a very interesting way for the Buckeyes that Notre Dame has to contend with, as is the unknown of everything about what Notre Dame looks like moving forward. Even with, you know, the return of both coordinators, we don't know what Marcus Freeman's long-term vision is for this offense or quarterback, and, you know, what the defense is going to look like now that he's fully in charge. Jim Knowles against a first-time, full-time starting quarterback for Notre Dame. Sir Blitz-a-Lot, Daddy Send-Em. Man, it could be very, very scary.
My prediction, and somebody in the Discord
yeah.
can jot this down, and if you've got enough patience to actually see this one through to September, mm-hmm. my prediction is that in the morning, the few hours before kickoff, that line moves in favor of Notre Dame.
Right.
I think there will be late steam on Notre Dame.
Okay. That's fine.
Call me crazy.
No, I think it's an interesting
question. I won't be betting Notre Dame, but I think people will.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Next question. I love this question. And we're actually going to get into the art of the question.
Okay.
Disregarding all things related to football, Sam wants to know, which former college football great's life would you most want to have?
Okay.
So the current post-football, so they can't be a current NFL star. Like, you can't select, I want to be Lamar Jackson, who's unquestionably a college football great, an all-time college football great.
Sure.
Which college football great's current life is the most desirable for you to your soul to escape your body and land in this person, in their brain.
Well, like, okay, what constitutes a great? Because the first thing that comes to mind is the guys who have played college football, mm-hmm. who have been very, very good at their position,
yeah.
have definitely had an NFL future, and then decided, I'm going to play baseball.
So you're answering Jeff Samardzija? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not answering Jeff Samardzija, but Jeff Samardzija made $122 million playing baseball.
Okay.
He was an average pitcher.
And
that's
he was
not a,
a
bad avenue to go, if that's
okay, no.
the framework for this question.
Jeff Samardzija is not a college football great.
Okay.
You can tell the story of mid-2000s college football without leaning heavily on Jeff Samardzija. Brady Quinn in Notre Dame circles.
I don't want to be Brady Quinn.
No. So who is the person that, like, from across the country, you mention their name and they say, oh, yeah, man, he was something else. Jeff Samardzija is not that. Brady Quinn's not that. But like Matt Leinart is.
Yeah. Yeah, Leinart. Bush is proud. Reggie Bush is probably in that conversation.
I have three answers.
Go ahead. Who are your answers? I'm curious.
Number one, Desmond Howard.
Yeah.
Unquestionably iconic college football player. Lives in Miami. Works the hardest for 4 months a year. Is not physically unwell to me. I know he came on the show and he talks about how he bikes and he does all these workouts or whatever. And he's beloved, still beloved, of course, by Michigan fans and alumni. And I don't know, he seems like a happy dude who has it together. I think that's a decent answer.
Okay.
Do you know what Jerry Rice is up to now? All-time unquestioned college football great. I'm not talking about 49ers.
He's not doing those men's vitality commercials with Frank Thomas, is he?
Might be.
Okay.
And what's wrong with that? You're
no,
helping
I'm just,
dudes out.
not a sponsor, I guess, could be. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. Jerry Rice, his kid just transferred from Colorado to USC, so he gets to be a proud college football dad. I believe he lives in California, has made a very handsome living. The last, like, in-public story that I read about Jerry Rice is he just has a great time crashing weddings in Northern California. He is super recognizable, gets onto the dance floor, and everybody loves to have a Jerry Rice surprise.
Okay.
I would counterpoint. Yeah. Yeah.
He played for Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah.
Is that a big enough school to qualify him as a college football great? He was clearly great in college, but
well,
he was more of an NFL great than he was a college great.
I went on ESPN's 150 greatest college football players ever.
Okay.
And there was Jerry Rice at like number, 34 or
all
something.
Right.
So
all right, we'll take that. We'll accept that.
He had set a number of records. He was unguardable. He just happened to play at a smaller level, but he is considered to be a college football great. I think, did he win the Walter Payton Award? The equivalent of like the FCS Heisman?
Probably.
You can look it up as
okay.
I'm discussing.
There is one easy answer here that I'm curious to see if you throw this
okay.
out next.
Okay, I have my number three.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck.
Oh.
Andrew Luck, retired, made a ton of money, is a new dad, loves reading, loves traveling, and once again, retired early with a ton of money and no longer plays football and just seems like a bright dude who has his life together, has a Stanford education, which certainly is something of value. Man, I don't know. I look at his life as being roughly, I think he's a little bit younger than we are. I mean, a lot younger than you. But,
Settle.
I don't think, in terms of living a college football great's life, who also appears on that list, I think that's my answer.
It's a good answer. How's the answer not Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning's a great answer. He's an all-time college football great. Played in at least one Citrus Bowl, if I remember correctly. What, the old Steve Spurrier? You can't spell citrus without
UT. I'm not crazy about the neck pain, but
right.
We're talking about removing all things football from this equation, and so we can kind of lump that together with it. But Peyton Manning
right.
is sort of like a budding media star. He's funny. He's definitely going to have limitless opportunities to grow his footprint as it relates to all things media and just be
yep.
out there and you know, pretty much have his pick
it's
of the litter
answer.
When it comes to anything in the entertainment or media world.
The only, my primary concern with some of these guys and looking at their life now is, how's Peyton Manning's neck doing, right? That's the concern to me. The
but that's related
the tail
to
end of his career.
That's related to football.
No, I know, but that's also related to his life. Like, there are guys, there are former players where, like, the game has clearly taken its toll on them physically, where I hope that they can heal from, but it does not look like a pleasant experience. That's the worry for me. But it seems like he's doing all right.
But the question was, outside of football, removing all things football.
Yeah.
And the neck is because of football. So in this parallel universe, Peyton Manning's got a good, strong neck. He's my answer.
What college football storyline, Taylor wants to know, outside of the playoff, are you sick of hearing about?
Do you have an answer for this?
Sort of, yeah.
My answer isn't really an answer. It's complicated.
Okay.
It's sort of a punt. But if I'm being honest, the answer for me is Dabo Swinney. Now,
okay,
he's not really a storyline.
Firebrand.
But yes, thank you.
Yeah.
It has been a journey for us as college football fans as Dabo has walked this long path of being an opinion haver.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the time, he pretty much sucks at it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to listen to him unless you're a full-throated Clemson believer, just a full-throated Dabo apologist.
Yeah.
Clemson's been a juggernaut for the better part of the last decade. I don't want to hear it about these ways that college football and the rules and the transfer portal and all these things are making it harder for him as a coach.
Right.
I don't care. They've been pretty good at it in the old world. Mm-hmm. In the way the system's been, and I didn't hear him barking then. So that, to me, rings pretty hollow.
Okay.
But then, 20% of the time, frankly, like his most recent comments, I don't know if you saw those, about college football may need a full-on blow-up. I just got to nuke it because of the way things have gone. It's gotten a little bit out of control. Priorities are messed up. 20% of the time, I'm like, all right, I'm with you.
In defense of Dabo Swinney, he's asked these questions. This is not him calling for a press conference to say,
I need to get things off my chest. I know.
He's asked very specific questions. Things can be taken out of context, right? That, like, we don't hear the question being asked or we don't hear what he said before and after. That is a part of things with coaching comments. I am not a huge fan of the top of the sport amassing talent in the manner in which they are. There's nothing, there's no solution to it. And I don't know if that's really a storyline, but the centralization of like these crazy deep rosters and the top of the sport being sort of unchanged, there's nothing that can realistically be done to encourage parity. But whatever. I think the big thing of recruiting, and then the recruiting industry saying, look, stars matter. Stars make a huge difference. We know. We all know that the teams with the best players, we all know that, you know, the people with the most money when it comes to luxury homes and luxury yachts have an advantage. I think there are huge fan bases that are the beneficiaries of those. And that's why we talk about it. And I get that. But I don't know. That sort of is not my favorite thing. And also discussions about conference strength. I understand it's a very popular thing to talk about and like, is the SEC deeper than any other conference? Is the Big Ten, blah, 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 SEC versus Big Ten, ACC, Big Ten. Like, I understand that they're like, I think you should take pride in your team, but taking pride in your conference to me is, and maybe this is just me as a disappointed and sad Pac-12 fan, and I'll explain the whole idea of conferences to you on another show.
Sure.
But It's sort of like the old Boy Meets World scene where, you know, you have the tiny little bully hanging behind the big bully, like, yeah, you tell him, Frankie. And you're just like, I'm an Arkansas fan. SEC is like, why don't you just go 8-4? Like, who cares? So that to me is the thing that I'm not a huge fan of conference pride. I think it's a way to feel good about yourself without having your team do a ton to contribute to top level success. I don't love that.
Okay. That's a good answer. I like that. Let's go to next question.
Next question. On a more serious note, oh, this is shocking. Yes, another question about Will Levis, which we've already gotten into. When you think of your schools that you root for, who is the one that got away in the way that Georgia fans think about Justin Fields, perhaps, or maybe Ohio State fans think about Joe Burrow? Who is the coach? Who is the player? We're like, oh, if we just got two more years, what could have been? Who is the one? And I'll open this up a little bit more as an Oregon fan, because the what if is not necessarily about transfers. I was trying to think of a high-level transfer who went somewhere else and just destroyed. Like, Lake Seastrunk had a very good career at Baylor. It didn't work out at Oregon. But I don't think Oregon fans are like, oh, if only Lake Seastrunk had stuck there. Oregon fans are always going to be wistful about Chip Kelly. But look, 4 years, four BCS bowls, it made sense. Like, he was in a huge place. He's not from the West Coast. He had this opportunity in Philly. I think Oregon fans understood that. The what if is a season that got away. It's Dennis Dixon's knee. That's going to be the one that
got
away.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
Is Dennis Dixon's ACL. That's the one. And now, this was an Oregon team that was besieged by injury that year as well around Dennis Dixon. You know, the receiving core was beat up, but defense was beat up. But that's the one where he was so special in Chip Kelly's first year as a coordinator that ACL in 2007, the very topsy-turvy season, that's the one that Oregon fans are nodding along with, saying, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I have always been very curious what Notre Dame would have looked like in the mid to late 90s if Randy Moss did go to South Bend.
Okay.
Randy Moss.
So he never got away because he was never there, but that was a what if. Yeah.
He signed a letter of intent to go to Notre
that's
Dame
true.
And ended up obviously at Marshall, becoming one of the all-time greats in college football, going on to great things in the NFL as well. But, you know, those were decent enough Notre Dame football teams that if you had a little bit more pop on offense, obviously a game-breaking talent like Randy Moss is going to take you places. It took that Marshall team places, right?
Sure.
That to me would have been interesting. The one that got away, I don't know. There are probably plenty of instances where you could break down injuries. You could talk about things like that maybe derailed
so what,
the season.
Hold on.
But for me, the curiosity at least has always been Randy Moss.
What signing class year was that? Like 95?
95.
Six?
Yeah.
95. Was Notre Dame around that time built to win big short of a game-changing receiver? If you remember.
Yeah. I mean, they had enough talent. I mean, I'm trying to go through my brain here, remember who they had on that team, but they had their own version of a game-breaking wideout in Derek Mays, who was pretty good back then.
Yeah.
Those are, I think, the Sean Wooden years when he was playing defensive back. He obviously went on to a pro career as well. Throughout the course of the late 90s, this was basically an 8-9 win team.
Sure. Okay.
So it wasn't a bad team by any stretch. Now, Bob Davey took over, I think, in 97, and that's when came a little bit off the swivel. But for sure, having Randy Moss in that offense would have elevated things in the passing game for sure.
Let's get to a couple of non-college football questions for the universe listening at large, and then we're going to hammer a bunch of good strong college football questions and strong non-college football questions for the extended verballers.com only show.
Boom.
Patreon only. Okay.
Boom.
Outside of college football, Ty, Joe wants to know, how do you find passion and joy?
Outside of college football.
Yeah. What makes you the happiest? What is the most fulfilling part of your life? We'll leave family and friends out of this, because the best of your family, the best of your friends is true for everybody.
But in
terms of attention.
Yeah, I mean, being out on the golf course is pretty great, right?
It's a good answer. Good answer. Yeah, what
being
else?
Being out on the golf course is pretty great. I feel like that's a low-hanging fruit, and I hate to give an uncreative answer, but let's be real. I'll say this. When I'm out on the golf course and there's nobody in front of you, and you can play at your own pace, you're not looking at a 5.5-hour loop, that to me is a certain paradise that I don't often get to experience.
Sure. What else? Anything else? Walks with the dog.
I mean, I sort of consider the dog family.
That's true. Fair enough.
But for sure, if not, walks with the pup are pretty great. How about you?
Okay, so obviously the pizza baking brings me a good amount of passion and joy. The other day I launched a pie and it was a great launch. That's the big thing. That separates the amateurs from the pros. Launching being you got to flour your peel, you got to zhuzh it, shimmy it into the oven.
Definitely have to
onto
zhuzh
the
it,
surface.
Yeah.
And people will have, you know, you get some weird amoebas and weird shapes because people don't know what they're doing all the time in terms of shaping and launching. I get a good launch. I had one the other day. And I yelled and pumped my fist. I was like, let's go. And Jody with an eye screamed from upstairs. Everything okay? What happened?
Yeah.
I was like, nope. I'm just yelling over the entry point.
Yeah, Jeets. Goods. Just yelling it out.
Yeah, Jeets. Okay. Pizza baking is a big one for me. Love tennis. Look forward to tennis. Been fully back into the sport. Played it a ton as a kid and needed an indoor-outdoor sport to, you know, workout situation with cold winters here. Tennis brings me a ton of joy. I like tennis people. I like pizza people. I like all of that stuff. Otherwise, outside of family and friends and, you know, hanging with the kids is great. But those are the two biggies. I'm not a big gamer. I don't watch a ton of TV. Like, I'm not super into like a mystery show right now or something like that. I like good stand-up comedy and going to a couple shows coming up here in the Chicago area, which I'm pretty excited about. By the way, big recommendation is Jared Carmichael, really good on HBO. Rothaniel is special. Those are the two biggies, I think.
Yeah, I'll also say with summer coming up, Dan.
Yeah, and travel. That's
travel,
a big one,
sure.
Too. Yeah,
for sure. This is my last answer on this one. Then we got to move on,
please.
But in the summertime, as you're out and about, friends invite you over to picnics or barbecues, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes you will find yourself in a situation where you get unexpectedly tipsy.
Sure.
You weren't expecting to.
A little drunk, a little buzz.
Not getting crazy.
Yeah.
Just in a good mood. You're with good people. You have a libation.
Mm-hmm.
So much of it's mood. You know this.
Of course.
You're just in good spirits and it just sort of happens. Take a couple sips and ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Are you saying making out with strangers?
With strangers.
Okay.
That's different.
Okay. Just making sure. Okay. Okay.
That's a different answer. But
okay.
When you're in those situations, you're not expecting that you're going to end up there. And it is fleeting. It never lasts. It's sort of like a solar eclipse. But those key moments in the summertime.
Surprise buzz.
A surprise
is your
buzz.
Answer. Is an answer that you have here.
Yeah, I think that's
what's your sweet spot to get the surprise buzz.
It's got to be the people around you.
Well, no, it's the people.
I think it's more the people around you. Honestly, you can get buzz on something that's like 4% if you've got good people around you and you're just in good spirits. You start feeling a little lightheaded, a little tipsy.
So what? But like, is there like so 2 beers, beer and a half, like a little cock sipping on a cocktail?
I can hold my liquor. You've been around.
I know you can.
Sometimes it only takes just like one very weak drink and you're in
Does
good
Mama
company
H
and you're
drink?
Just feeling on top of the world.
Does Mama H drink?
Poorly.
What does that mean? Like she gets a little sloppy after a single glass of wine or something?
You could dilute a single half glass of a very weak wine and a couple sips in. She's like, this is really strong. What is this?
Yep. Yep. Same goes for Mama Rubenstein. And yeah. It's like only Thanksgiving. You know, it's only like where she's stressed out and we're like, why don't you just have a drink? You know, she's running around. Why don't you have a drink? And she'll have like a glass of wine or something like that. And she'll have 6.5 sips of, you know, Chardonnay or something like that. And she will sit in a chair, throw her hand onto her forehead and say, I'm so high.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a mom's drinking thing.
Yeah. So. That's I don't have the surprise buzz is not a great passion or joy for me I don't really drink that much, but I can appreciate the right mood. You're sitting around a fire, you know, you're hanging out at a picnic, you're doing something,
stuff.
You're outside. Yeah.
A surprise buzz.
Jerk. This is what Jerk Martin is what this person labeled themselves as. Alternatives to ketchup, honey mustard, barbecue sauce, etc. for French fries.
This is your music, Dan.
No, 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 Ty, you're a fry guy.
I am a fry guy, yeah.
So if you get away from ketchup family, ketchup, barbecue sauce, things that are very similar to that, and you get away from honey mustard.
Yeah.
Which I don't associate honey mustard with fries.
I've done the dip with honey mustard and fries.
No, I think it's fine. I think it's totally tasty. I associate honey mustard more with like chicken tenders, chicken nuggets. I feel like that's the natural pairing. But do you have any wild card sauces for dipping a fry?
Where are we at with like Cheese Whiz?
I mean, you don't need to say we if that's your answer. You can just stand by it.
I don't know if that counts, but some sort of cheese situation for the fries, I think, is
okay.
And Cheese Whiz is about as close as you get to like the dipping sauce.
So, like, have you dipped
version.
A fry into like queso? Like queso dip? Because that's
I've done
sort
that.
Of.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's no. doable. I don't know if it's a substitute.
Yeah.
I'd like to agree as a podcast that mayo is not the answer here.
Ooh, I don't know if I can stand with you there.
I don't. See, I'm not a mayo guy. I'm not a mayo guy.
I make a burger sauce. I've given out the recipe to listeners. Happy to do it even more. And it's a mayo base, but a lot gets added to it. There's barbecue sauce, there's lemon juice, there's seasonings, there's sriracha. And so it's that, you know, that catch-all pinkish yellow sauce. You've seen it.
Sure.
Almost like a Big Mac sauce, like a better version of a Big Mac or an In-N-Out. You know, the burger sauce, Thousand Islandy. That with fries, I think, to me, because you get the creamy and the crunchy. My other wild card would be chimichurri. Like oil and herbs and spices together is very good.
Okay.
That's all. I know people like their... people in the comments are mentioning vinegar, salt and vinegar, you know, that kind of thing with your fish and chips. They like that malted vinegar.
Okay.
But no, that's my answer. Final question. And then we're going to go to everybody else, I suppose.
Yeah.
For our Patreon only portion of this. Colonel Ag, long time for baller. What is the greatest achievement you have witnessed live? He or she does not indicate sports achievement, does not indicate, you know, a physical achievement of some kind. What is the greatest achievement that you've witnessed, but not taken place necessarily in a starring role? So I guess if like you were on a basketball team and somebody dropped 83 points or something, like that's a pretty great achievement. But what is something you've witnessed, physical or not, in person?
Well, I saw the Bush push. And, you know, I don't know if that was any great achievement per se, but it was a legendary moment in college football.
Yeah, but not an achievement, I don't think.
Not an achievement, right.
Like, even from that game, I would say Matt Leinart hitting, who did he hit? Was it
Dwayne Jarrett?
Dwayne Jarrett, yeah, on fourth and long, up the sideline.
Down the sideline.
Was, I think, more of a degree of difficulty achievement than a, you know, one-yard run that you were pushed into the end zone for the game.
So that moment, obviously, I saw, but in terms of achievement, wow, what a great question. Do you have an answer?
I have a couple. I'm trying to think if there's a sports one. Like, I saw Kobe hit essentially two game winners in person. I went to a Lakers Blazers game in college, in like last row of the then Rose Garden. It's called like the Moda Center now. And I think he hit a buzzer beater to send it to overtime, and he hit another like game winner buzzer beater. That was awesome. That was just like, especially as a Laker fan in Portland, in like enemy territory, that was a great, like, I don't know how many, he maybe scored 30 some odd points, whatever. That was just like an awesome, you know, I've seen game winning plays at football stadiums. I've seen all of that. But of people I know, I am, first of all, I destroyed on a game show. That's my best personal achievement. I was 9 years old. And I also hit a game winning 3-pointer myself. Freshman year, my then roommate and friends down the hall decided to do the milk challenge.
Oh, no.
The gallon of milk in an hour?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
And I can, with honesty, with confidence, say that it's the only time I've ever seen somebody drink a gallon of milk in an hour and puke up a gallon of milk at once. Like, you know when you watch SNL and they do like the cartoonish, like they put their hand, which is connected to a tube, next to their mouths, and they throw up cartoonishly?
Yeah.
I got to see that. I got to see the most violently robust vomiting experience that I'll probably ever see. The other one, It's hard to say personal achievement, but it was, you know, sometimes you just come across somebody who's very specifically talented at something.
Yeah. Yeah. See, this is where I'm going with my answer. Continue.
Yes. I saw as like a 12-year-old or 14-year-old. This is not the most talented thing I've ever seen. It's not the best achievement I've ever seen. It's just something that came up in my mind that like sometimes you just, you watch somebody do like a miracle run. Like, you know, so you watch a clip of like an Olympic skier, like nobody's ever done a run this perfectly. Nobody has ever been like Simone Biles and gotten a 99.999 whatever.
Sure.
Like, whatever. This is not nowhere near that. But I saw my longtime, lifelong friend Josh hit like 12 or 14 on a round of Taboo, where he was just in the zone. He was in the zone. I don't know if he was a spec. Like, I don't know if the clues just perfectly aligned with his personal strengths on giving those clues in Taboo. But at one point, he got handcuffs. That you understand the game of Taboo, right? You're given a word and you have to describe the word without using five or so keywords that are given. And it was handcuffs. And he said, twin bracelets of crime. And I said, without a flippin' hesitation, I said to myself, this is a man, 12-year-old, in his element.
Yeah.
And I think a good round of Taboo is like six or seven. You get a minute, right? Six, seven, eight, or something like that. He was well into double digits. And it was just watching a man, again, boy, do what he was meant to do.
Amazing. I have two answers here that are kind of in a similar vein. The first is my 9-year-old nephew who can do a Rubik's Cube in about 45 seconds.
That's pretty great.
I don't know if you can do a Rubik's Cube. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Can you? Have you?
No. Absolutely not.
He can do it in 45 seconds. Now, he's got one of the speed cubes because he can do it this quickly, but you see clips on YouTube of people doing it of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
To see it up close and personal is sort of like sorcery.
Yeah.
So that maybe doesn't rise to the greatest achievement ever, but it's amazing. The second thing is actually in the flip side of the equation. You're familiar with cornhole. You're familiar with bean bags.
Of course. Yeah. Bags. Yeah.
When I was in college, I was at a picnic thrown by a friend, and another friend of his was playing around with beanbags and wasn't drunk, was perfectly able-bodied, and went, I'm not kidding, an entire game of beanbags without even hitting the board on the other side.
That's amazing.
It was almost impossible. It was a case of the yips. He was sweating because of this, and he was very embarrassed. Everybody at the party was laughing. He was not. He was trying his best to get the beanbag into the hole. He could not do it. He could not hit the board. It was the all-time greatest display of yips I've ever seen in my life, up close and personal.
Wow.
And I just don't know how that's even possible. Even the worst person at that game could find a way to hit the board. He couldn't even nick it. Incredible.
That's I've seen so many different sporting events in person and so many athletes at the top of their games. I've been to the Olympic trials. I've been to the U.S. Open. I've been to major golf tournaments. I've been to NASCAR. I've been to football, base, you name it. I've seen the best of the best on big, huge stages. But man, shout out to Jared for just annihilating that milk.
All right.
Oh, man.
Well, look. Yeah. Thank you to one and all for all of your questions. We're going to keep the party going here over at verballers.com.
Yeah.
Part two of this conversation as we advertise it, the more scandalous version of our Q&A. As it morphs into the Bruin-A, you can go on out to our Patreon and find part two of this. We had so many questions. We're going to try and get through as many of them as humanly possible. Don't forget, again, hit subscribe. Hit follow, hit whatever it lets you hit on your podcasting app of choice for ballers.com. Mm-hmm. Finally, final mention, I promise, is where you can go for Patreon to get the bonus features and part two of this episode. SolidGiveaway.com is where you can enter to win that signed A.G. Brown mini helmet. And last but certainly not least, don't forget to follow us on social media. We're all over the place. Just look for the Solid Verbal, Dan.
Agree. Thanks to everybody for listening, but let's keep this show going with even spicier questions.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.